G'day guys, we've got episode 55 coming up. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Emilio, your host, and this is the Teach Emilio podcast. On today's episode, we will talk a bit about listening, and I thought it would be worth sharing this with you after meeting a student that just recently did well on the IELTS test. The listening section can be a bit tricky, and I thought it would be good to share this with everyone, and hopefully you'll get some good insights from this episode, not only for IELTS, maybe for PTE, maybe for other exams. So stay tuned, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. And we're gonna cover 5 things you can do to ace, to crush, to boost, to improve your listening, and to get the most on that section. Well, the very first thing that I would say is quite obvious. You are doing that right now, and yes, you may be smiling, you guessed it correctly, it is exposure and practice. So you have to listen to lots of different accents, you need to get comfortable getting lots and lots of listening practice, and by doing this you'll be doing a few things. Probably the most important one is getting familiar with different accents, because on the test you could have anything. You could have Aussie English, you could have British, you could have American, you could have Scottish. I hope you don't get Scottish, because that's a tough one. But jokes aside, you could get any accent, and by getting lots of listening, you increase your chances of not being surprised during the test. Another thing is that you will also get more comfortable when it comes to staying focused. Sometimes that's a problem, because maybe some questions could be as long as 3 to 5 minutes. And if you don't have that much listening practice, let me tell you, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're sitting under test conditions, 3 minutes, it's a long time. And I guess it's probably the very first thing that we need to talk about, just getting listening practice. Start with this podcast, start with other shows, start with movies, and as we talked in previous episodes, remember, do not use subtitles. If you haven't listened to that episode, do check it out. I believe it's episode 52 or 51. Just make sure you check it out, because again, that'll be even more listening practice for you. So keep that in mind. Now, the second thing we should be doing, it's not only just, now that we said to be familiar with different accents, we need to be familiar with the test itself. And what I mean by that is to pay close attention at the differences between the listening tasks that we've got on the IELTS test. For example, we have got things that could be as simple as a gap fill activity, where you've got a blank and then you have to fill out the gaps. That's okay, but then remember that IELTS has got other little things like the map activity, or those where you have to do some matching. And it could be a bit of a surprise if you don't have either practice with those, or if you don't know what to do or how you should approach those questions. So quite important, or not quite, very, very important to not only be familiar with different accents, but also to be familiar with the test questions that you'll get. And talking about test questions, if you want to get a bit of extra practice and take your English to the next level, all you have to do is check out the link in the show notes so that you can join my Patreon page. On my page, I upload weekly activities so that you can practice while you have all my support. And you've got two options. You have regular Study with Teacher Emilio, and you have Study with Teacher Emilio Plus, where you get extra practice with writing and speaking as well. So make sure you check it out. And if you have any questions, make sure to reach out. Message me, email me, talk to me on social media. And well, by joining the Patreon, I'm sure you'll be getting that extra practice and you will be familiar with those activities on the test. And when you think about the test, now that we mentioned different types of activities, and basically when we're getting now into practice, Something that is going to be very important and sometimes it is overlooked, it's the fact that we should take advantage of the time that we are given to read before the listening task starts. Almost, if not all the questions, will have about a minute to a minute and a half, sometimes a bit less time for us to read and basically get ready. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, so don't feel bad if you have done this when you're in class or when you were practicing or when you perhaps took the test, where you are given the test and you are just looking somewhere, maybe checking out the window, looking at the roof, or daydreaming, whatever it may be. But when you are having, or when you're given that time to read the question, please, please, please check the question, because that is simply the most efficient thing you can do. And obviously it's going to put less pressure. More than once, I remember when I was a student, I wouldn't pay attention. The listening starts, 2 or 3 seconds kick in. That's when I start paying attention and boom, I missed one of the answers. So avoiding those little things will definitely help you when you take your test, when you go to class, when you practice. And again, it's just a bad habit. So do not do that. Do not waste that precious time that you're given with every question. And I would also say that remember that you're also given a bit of time when it comes to the very first bit of the question. Normally, when you have a dialogue, for example, you listen to the first bit of the dialogue. Even if that is not assessed, do pay close attention, because that would give you some hints as to what accent is going to be played, what type of vocabulary you can expect. And simply, the more information you have, the more equipped, the more prepared you'll be to do well in that section. So quite important to be, again, efficient with that time. Even if you think that the question is easy, or that you know the vocabulary, or even if you feel super confident, or even if you know that, I don't know, whatever excuse you may have, be wise and use that time properly. Don't just wait and leave that up until when it is time to start. And the next tip goes along with the one that I mentioned before, which is use your prediction skills. When you take a bit of extra time and you start checking the questions before, then what you're doing is also being efficient, because you could have, for example, a gap fill activity. And you don't have to know the answers before you listen, because, well, you haven't listened to it, duh. But what you could do is, again, predict or sort of expect what words you may have. Sometimes by looking at the gaps, you will know, or you can basically guess with, let's say, quite high accuracy, what word is going to be in the blank. You could have something that will be quite easy to guess if you've got a dollar sign, or let's say anything along the lines of a currency like dollars, pounds, because that would mean that you will probably need to put a number. Maybe you have a percentage sign and then you've got a blank space. So in that case, that would obviously mean that you need to put a number. And I know, it's not that it is always easy like that, but it would still be good to check. Sometimes, now for those of you that like grammar or that want to get, let's say, more creative like me, you could think of it this way. Sometimes you, by looking at the gap and by looking at the prompt, you could sort of tell yourself, okay, maybe I need to put an adjective, maybe I need to put a noun, or maybe a verb should go on this space, or perhaps an adverb may fit in well here. You may not guess correctly all the time, maybe you may get that wrong, but that thought process is going to help you be more prepared, because again, you know what to expect. Sometimes, as I just said, you may be getting a few surprises, but this will be extremely useful. And I will go as far as saying that this will also be quite useful for my PTE people. But the key thing with PTE is that there are some differences in the types of questions we get. So that's probably going to be a bit of a separate episode for my PTE guys. So I'm sorry, but it would be way too long if we pack all that into this one. The last tip before we wrap up has to be to be careful and to listen to keywords. And the main thing, one of the most important things, is to pay close attention to paraphrasing. As you may know, paraphrasing is when we use the same word, but we... Whoops, my bad. Paraphrasing, let me take that back. Let's say it again. Paraphrasing would be when we say something using different words. And this could take many shapes and forms, but sometimes it could be as simple as using a synonym. So, for example, instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, maybe in the recording it is going to say, oh, I apologize. Or sometimes it could be more complex, where you would have not just a synonym, but maybe instead of saying a word or a phrase, a synonym would be used. So you need to pay close attention to that, because otherwise what could happen is that you may be expecting a keyword, but it is actually something that has been paraphrased. This is where this tip goes along quite well with the one I just said before, because you could be expecting a certain word or phrase, but then you also need to be aware of synonyms, of paraphrasing, and also keywords. Keywords may not help you all the time, but it will be a great starting point for most of the questions, for most activities. But paraphrasing has to be key, because again, you just never know how something would be said, and sometimes it could be very, very subtle. So instead of saying, for example, oh, I'm very busy with work, maybe on the listening or on the audio, what you may listen to or what you may hear is something like, oh, I have been extremely overwhelmed. So notice how you're changing busy for overwhelmed, or as I said earlier, you could change I am sorry for I apologize. So little things like this will make a difference. And this is what I tell students. If we put in the exam with, let's say, the simple words I said just a minute ago, then IELTS will be very easy. So for obvious reasons, one way to make the test a little bit more challenging is to basically pay attention to those keywords and to that paraphrasing, because that is one way of testing those English skills. I know that sometimes it may seem a bit tricky. I know some questions are extra difficult, but do pay close attention, because again, this is something that will come up on the test. And talking about the test, we just went through five little tips that I'm sure will help you ace the listening section. I've got a bonus for you, but before I give you the bonus, let's just quickly go through them. And basically, the first one, as we said earlier, is to get lots of practice and familiarize yourself with different accents. The next one is to basically practice and familiarize yourself with all the different types of listening activities. The third one is to take advantage of the time given on each question before it starts. The fourth one is the use of your prediction skills, so that you can guess or that you can anticipate what may come up. And then the last one, or the fifth one, has to be listening to keywords and paraphrasing. Because when you listen for keywords or paraphrasing, that's again when you are going to be catching the answers. And as a bonus for joining me for these past 14 minutes, I'll tell you two bonus tips that will truly help you on your IELTS practice or on your IELTS preparation, call it however you want. And the first one has to be that when you are listening, you have to be extra careful. Because sometimes what would happen is that, for example, we may have the matching activity and all the options are going to be said in the test. And when that happens, when you have all the options being mentioned, then what could happen is that when a candidate is not paying attention, or a candidate is nervous, or worse, a candidate is unsure, what this person may do is just to listen to the first thing that is said, and then pick the answer, and unfortunately getting that wrong. So sometimes it could go like this. I'll give you a quick example. Imagine that we have got something that has to do with ordering a coffee, right? And then let's pretend that some of the options are, what coffee does Emilio want, right? And then this is what the dialogue says. All right, I think I'm going to have a cappuccino, or no, actually, I think I'll have a latte. You know what? I think I'll stick to a cappuccino, but maybe this is not the best time to have it. You know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and probably go with an espresso. Yes, that's what I'll do. Thank you. Sorry for the confusion. So again, espresso, not cappuccino. Okay, so in that example, maybe a candidate, as soon as that person listens to cappuccino, boom, puts cappuccino in the answers, and that is not correct. And I know that I made it maybe a bit too simple, but this is something that could happen on the test. So do pay close attention to little things like this, because you don't want to be tricked by the audio. This is where, again, big part of the actual test happens, so be wary. And again, if you go and take the test and the worst happens, make sure you listen to this episode again. Make sure you pay close attention to what I'm telling you now. And again, be patient, because this exam is tricky. But now I have, talking about being careful, now I should tell you the last bonus tip. And it has to do with paying close attention to sections 3 and 4. Don't ask me why. Technically, I'll tell you what the British Council says, and it is something very general, which is that the IELTS test has 40 questions, and the 40 questions have got a mix of different difficulties, and that all sounds amazing. Do not ask me why, but somehow, somewhere between section 3 or section 4, the majority or students and candidates tend to tend to lose lots of marks. Teacher, what is a lot of marks? A lot of marks could be getting 2 out of 10, or maybe getting 3 or 4 out of 10. And that can be quite discouraging. The reason I'm telling you this is because when we are practicing, or when you know that you're going to take the test, something may happen between those sections. There is a chance that maybe those sections, because they are the second part of the test, are a little bit more challenging. So there is a high chance. This is not an exact science, and there is no way to prove this. But I would say, based on my experience after helping hundreds of students and taking the test myself, somewhere between sections 3 and 4, the difficulty changes a bit. And what could happen is that you may feel more challenged. Usually, people tend to feel quite well with sections 1 and 2, have a bit of a surprise somewhere with section 3 or with section 4. So, again, I'm just telling you, be extra careful. Don't be stressed. It's not like you're going to get an impossible set of questions. It's just that it is going to probably feel a bit more challenging. And by doing all these things, I am sure that you are going to, again, slowly but surely, take your English to the next level and be extra ready for this test. Before we go, I also have to say a massive thank you to my patrons. So I have to say thanks to Angelica, Francia, Carlos, Alfredo, Susana, Alexa, Estela, Camilo, Ikumi, Christian, Alan, and Johnny. I appreciate your support. And again, remember, you can join in the link in the show notes, and you can basically choose the two options. And I forgot to tell you one important thing. Thanks God, I just remembered now. As a sign-up bonus, whenever you join any of the two memberships, you also get a copy of my book. How cool is that? That would be a great way to kickstart your preparation. And if you're not 100% sure as to what exam would be best for you, I am sure that this book will help. And again, maybe you know someone that wants to get ready. You can tell them about me, or you could even tell them about the book. Anyways, you know what I'm trying to say. Help me go viral and make sure that you tell people about this episode, about the show. And needless to say, thank you so much for your support. Again, I know that sometimes the listening section can be a bit tricky, but I do think that everything that we covered on this episode will help you, or will help anybody, be better prepared for that in the IELTS test. As I said, some of these could also be applied for PT and other exams, but again, maybe something that is more PT specific for my PT people will come up soon, so stay tuned for that. And again, thank you for making me part of your day. I enjoyed recording this episode for you, and I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. Maybe you were on your commute, on a walk, maybe you were cleaning up your place, whatever that may be, I'm really, really happy that you joined me and that I was part of your day. I'm humbled by that. And well, for now, I'll say goodbye. If you've got any questions, just stay in touch via social media. All of that is in the show notes. And until then, I'll see you on episode 56 of the Teach Emilio podcast. Take care and bye for now. Boom.